Good afternoon, LinkedIn Live. My name is Morgan Doyle with Marketing Eye. Again, I have with me Robert Fox with Strategy to Revenue, and we're going to talk about this idea around coaching. So let's just get down to the basics. Robert, what is coaching for a business?
A good question. So there's a lot of different definitions of coaching.
Right.
And so to get really basic, coaching is when a leader helps bring you to maximize your potential, allowing you to flourish outside the world of them telling you what to do and being specific, but it's about really a relationship of listening versus telling. And what you're listening for is you're allowing them to talk through, to come up with ideas of things that they want to execute on. So it really comes down to how do you get somebody from where they are today
mm-hmm.
to where they can be fully maximizing their potential as a salesperson.
So we'll dive into this more throughout this conversation, but one of the pieces I just want to ask, as you said that, is do you think coaching is a natural piece? I know leadership is a hot topic on, is it natural versus trained? Do you think coaching can be natural for some people and a little more added effort to train them into the coaching aspect?
So I think it could be natural. I think it's rare that it's natural in the sales leadership that I work with.
Right.
So when I go into an organization, and I'm sure most people have heard the same thing, is that sales leaders are promoted because they were good salespeople, not because they were good leaders.
Right.
So they need to understand that their job is not to be that what is often called the super closer
mm-hmm.
and coming in and helping when the deal's in the ninth hour and ready to close and coming in and working hard to make sure the deal closes. They are supposed to be on the sideline, allowing their team to actually be delivering and doing the job that they're supposed to do. So that is a transition for people. They
right.
want to be out. They want to be a successful salesperson. Always wants to be close to the deal.
Yeah.
But now it's a stepping back and allowing other people to thrive, and you are sort of the fuel behind helping them getting there.
Well, I think you present an interesting scenario because I've met salespeople in my career so far that are excellent closers, and they want to, you know, they're efficient and very successful in the sales cycle. But when it comes to managing, they have no desire. They have no desire to manage, to lead. They want to be an individual producer.
Yeah.
So there is a big transition for those who do want to make that transition, as well as those that might be led to that transition that may not have that desire.
Right.
So a piece of that coaching topic that we'd like to talk about is really what have you seen in your practices and your training programs that are best practices for coaching?
Okay, so the first thing I think is really set expectations. So communication is key. So set expectations of what the coaching program is all about, what the cadence is going to be, what the role is of going to be the coachee, if you
mm-hmm.
want, and the role of the coach.
Okay.
Set expectations. I want the coachee to be the person that ultimately drives the agenda.
Okay.
So as a sales leader, I would say, we're going to have this session, we're going to meet at this time, et cetera. What are the topics that you want to discuss? So place it on them, because again, it's about making them owners of
right.
this stuff. So which leads to the whole thing about accountability. So putting something in there, that accountability. And as I said earlier, it's about listening and asking questions. It's not about telling. The coachee needs to take ownership of the actions. You're asking them questions and helping them think through scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
So they ultimately go, oh, you know what I should do is X. Because if you tell them what to do, they're going to be like, oh, great. But if they own it,
right.
then it's much more personable, and they're going to be more successful executing on that activity.
Well, I think, too, you bring up an interesting point of ownership, because we all know that if we own something or we put effort into it or it's part of our idea and we think that we're the creator of the idea,
right.
it's more likely to happen and be executed well when we take ownership in the tactics or the practices or what's been told to us. But if it's just been told to us and there's no ownership or interaction in that conversation or us taking responsibility
yeah,
for the
you're
ideas.
You're not emotionally connected to it.
Right. Right. So it's interesting because I think a lot of times there's a misconception of coaching where the coach is responsible for truly the results that are being driven.
Yeah.
Which, yes, they have, you know, it's a 50-50 effort, I feel like, almost, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on that percentage, but yes, the coach has to be, you know, involved and invested in bringing things to the table, but so does the coachee and the mentee
Absolutely.
Of that scenarios, really bringing the ownership, the responsibility, and ideas to the table to where
yeah.
they're both met and both collaborated to like achieve
yeah.
that result.
One of the things that we teach in our programs is this whole thing around understanding the reality and also what are the options moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this game that I generally play, or it's not really a game, but it's a recommendation that I want someone to ask why five times. I want a sales leader, a coach,
mm-hmm.
to ask their salesperson why five times.
Interesting.
And it's really hard. And you, once you get into the cadence, because ultimately, so if you ask five times, it starts off with, well, I need to make more phone calls. Why do you think you need to make more phone calls? Well, if I make more phone calls, then ultimately I should be able to get more appointments. Why do you think you need more appointments?
Interesting.
I need more appointments because, so the conversation goes, and it's almost like a funnel getting the person to really come down to understand what they need to do.
Right, the fundamentals of the basics, but you're also training them to think backwards. Yes, this is the objective we want to achieve, but let's work backwards on action items,
yeah.
on why and how we're going to achieve this.
Yeah, so in a lot of coaching programs, they start with a goal. What's your
mm-hmm.
goal? But a goal could be to make quota. A goal
right.
could be, and that's too big. So where I go and suggest is that I want people to break down the goal and actually come up with a topic underneath
right.
the goal. So if the goal is I want to do 150% of quota,
mm-hmm.
so in order to do that, let's pick a topic. And there could be a topic around number of new opportunities.
Okay.
Or could be a topic around maximizing my territory. So it's what are some of the objectives underneath the goal so that you can break it down? Because each one of those is going to have a set of actions
right.
versus just a goal, you kind of can get lost in all the different things you can do. So if you can break it down and focus.
Well, I think that's important, and that's bringing in the concept of goal making when you have your overarching goal, but then what are the subordinate goals below that
yeah.
to really build your action statements from there.
Exactly.
So with this coaching concept and the pros and cons of building these programs, what do you see as some of the obstacles for coaches and businesses, building these programs out in their companies, as well as maybe some obstacles that the coachee might come across?
Yeah. So we talked about setting expectations for the coachee.
Right.
But there's also got to be expectations on the coach from their manager that this is some of the things that they're implementing
okay.
as a best practice.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges? Like I said before, these people come from a sales background and they've been very successful. And here we are asking them to do something that doesn't come natural to
mm-hmm.
them, as we said earlier. They need some skills to understand. And they are sometimes anxious to engage in the conversations because they don't want to be embarrassed
okay.
or exposed for not knowing what they're doing. And you know, as someone who's a high achiever, they want to be in control.
Right.
And they, in this situation, they have to let go of control. And as we've talked about all the different ways that you empower the coachee. So they need to sit back. They need to pay attention in the beginning when they start doing this to get in teaching themselves how to be a better coach. They need to be conscious of the fact that how many times they start saying, well, what I would do, or
right.
instead it's got to, it may be questions around, have you ever considered
mm-hmm.
this? So again, you're kind of getting them to think that they're owning it, but you're
right.
feeding information into the coachee so that they can come to the conclusions themselves,
right.
but you're not telling them.
Well, I think that's important, not to cut you off, but I think that it's an important concept of removing the I language or my way or I think you should do this or
totally.
I've done it this way or I would do this or building that thought and just switching the verbiage around to
exactly.
your point of giving them the information so that they can say, oh, maybe I should do this or maybe I could do this.
Yes, and that's exactly it. It's just helping them think through the language they use. And it's just sometimes a little switch, which can be very hard sometimes. That's that simple amount of change. So that's what I really see as the biggest obstacle.
Okay.
So when we're doing programs with clients and things like that, what we're often doing is getting into one-on-one situations where we're having them practice. They're having them. So we want them comfortable with it.
Right.
So we don't want the first time they're practicing this or to do this to be with
in the scenario. Yeah.
And again, they're anxious. So they won't do it. And then, as I said, their managers need to ask, you know, how are your coaching? What is your team doing? What are some of the ideas your team has come up in the coaching sessions? What are people going to do differently? And so reinforcing that behavior as well.
Well, I think it brings up an interesting point of there's a learning process too for the coach to really learn how to coach and coach well. And not only that, we've talked about this in a few of our conversations on LinkedIn, but catering that to the individual sales rep or coachee per se, of this is actually how you're going to learn better, this is how you're going to take information and actually apply it better.
Yeah.
So learning how to coach, but then also learning how that customization comes in place.
Yeah.
And feeling, it's important for, if, from what it sounds like, the coach to feel confident in what they're doing,
yeah.
but to be able to give advice, give suggestions, but sit back and let the coachee actually execute.
Right. And the other thing which you just brought up is the cadence. We need to put a cadence in place. So it's the skills and the cadence. How often are you going to be meeting? Initially, you're probably going to have to put together the agenda.
Okay.
And tell, you know, kind of, but then after the first couple of sessions, you can say to the person, okay, next time you need to come prepared to talk about. It's almost like the best way to learn is to make them a teacher.
Yeah.
It's kind of that kind of concept, is to empower them to drive the conversation.
I really like that switch student to teacher.
Yeah.
But I think that's very impactful and effective in multiple scenarios.
Yeah.
So as we're talking about different careers and different companies that we've been with, as well as coaching scenarios, do you have any good examples of both good or bad coaching scenarios?
I do. Okay, so I'll start with that. And okay. I ended up leaving the company. You know, you mentioned the whole statistic that managers, if you have a bad manager, it's
right.
one of the main reasons why people leave companies. I actually had a manager that was in transition himself.
Okay.
So I would send emails, I would leave voicemails. I was almost 3 months before I had a conversation with that person. And then they asked me to come to a meeting and they wanted to have one-on-one. And we had a meeting and we talked and I was really excited about what the growth plan was and where we were going. As I'm in the airport flying home, I got a call from a recruiter about another position.
Interesting.
Which I ended up taking.
Okay.
Because it just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
So communication, open a conversation, making sure that you feel involved, which leads to the success that I had. And this was at a company, and this person is still a friend. This is probably 19 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Consider this person still a friend. When I sat down for any session, he would share with me the big picture of what he wanted to accomplish and where he was going, and then what my role would be in that. And so I felt like I was part of the big decisions. I felt like I was part of the strategy. And then it would transition the conversation to say, you know, so how are you doing? What are you doing? What are the things that you're doing to help achieve this? And it would be transition. So it was really a very casual conversation
mm-hmm.
that I don't even know. We never called it coaching. But that's really what it was because I would walk out of there with a list of actions and I would be excited because I felt like I was helping to implement that bigger strategy.
Absolutely.
And what I was going to do was important.
Well, and clearly you're so passionate about it 19 years later.
Yeah.
So it really made a big impact. And
yeah.
that goes back to showing how important and how valuable coaching and effective coaching can be to your business. I know what you just touched on was that people will leave their jobs, even if they like the work that they're doing or the company that they're with, because of a poor manager, leader, coach.
Yeah.
They'll literally leave just because of an individual.
Do you have a best practice or examples?
So I actually have the opposite, similar to your second scenario of the good, you know, to counteract that previous statistic is people will stay in a job maybe that they've already outgrown or a company that they've outgrown because of a good mentor, boss, manager, or leader. I know for me specifically, I haven't had the negative situation, but I did stay in my last role longer than probably what I would have for growth purposes because I had an incredible boss.
Yeah.
I very fortunately reported directly to our CEO, and he was the mentor-coach relationship that truly you hope for in a boss. To your same point, it wasn't a coach or mentor title. I just reported directly to them. But same with your situation is that I got to be a part of the big picture of the company. And yes, I wore different hats than just specifically a marketing role. But he allowed me to take ownership and see the objectives, but then how and like build a plan
yeah.
on how we're going to achieve those objectives as a leader. And still to this day, him and his family are both very impactful in my life, and I see both him and his wife as mentors to me in my career because they've given me the training, but also the resources and the connections to continue learning on past what that role was providing.
Yeah. It's interesting to think, I wonder if there is any correlation to calling it coaching versus not calling it coaching. Like, would somebody be more excited about just having a strategic planning conversation?
Right.
Or let's have a coaching session.
That is actually a very interesting concept.
I don't know.
Because for both you and I, we've had scenarios that felt like coaching scenarios, but that wasn't the structure.
That wasn't what it was identified.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So sometimes, you know, I think companies may already have the scenario being played out between managers and leaders and their employees or teammates. But is there a structure behind it, an actual program in place, to your point of what you do in the companies is going in and implementing coaching programs and training people on it. Some of these practices might already be in place, but without the formal title or formal process.
Yeah. And you reminded me, as you were going through yours, one of the things that was included in my best practice or my scenario that was good was that there was also a personal almost reward as well. So it wasn't just business. It was, if you do these things, you could move up here, or you could have a career path here, or you know, you understood how you could grow.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just sort of like a short term, it was long term as well. And it wasn't just sort of business tactics, it was personal growth.
Absolutely. When I think how many of us as ownership of our careers and our profession, whether we have these esteemed career goals of being leaders of organizations or just doing well at our skill and our job, there's ownership and pride in the work that we do, and having a career, a clear growth path of what's my next steps of being achieving success.
Yeah.
And success looks completely different for everybody, but knowing, having a clear path on whether it's vertical or lateral, but the ownership and the pride that comes along with that is priceless.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've kind of covered over a wide variety of coaching, and in the upcoming videos, I'm sure we'll touch on it continuously because it's a big part of your business and it's important in every business. But do you have any key takeaways that you really want people and viewers to pull from the coaching, if they remember one or two things from what we've talked about?
One of the key things which we discussed was recognizing that I is not part of this.
Right, yeah.
And so changing that verbiage to be about the coaching. And along with that is making sure it's a listening versus a telling environment. And then ultimately, to create the passion in the coachee is to lead them down the path so that they come up with the ultimate ideas, they come up with the actions they need to put in place, because then they're emotionally connected to it.
Right.
And there's going to be more successful in that.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, sort of along, so that's the best practices, but it really is establishing the cadence of an ongoing accountability. Once you have the meeting, next meeting you start off the next meeting with, this is what we discussed, how have you done on those, and then going into the next conversation.
Well, I like how you pulled in the accountability piece too at the end to tie it all together, because last week we talked on our LinkedIn Live you, myself, and our founder, Melissa, about accountability.
Yeah.
And the importance of having that, and it completely relates and correlates to the coaching relationship. You've heard some information from both Robert and I about coaching today. If you have an additional feedback or topics that you, again, would like us to talk about or dive into on these LinkedIn Live videos, as we're building our topical discussions as well as the cadence of these videos, we welcome any suggestions or feedback or tips.
Yep. Good.
All right. Well, thank you for listening today, and we look forward for you to listen next time.
Thank you. See you next time.